Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Welcome, welcome, everyone. Whether you're listening to us online or you're calling in via phone, welcome to Roundtable Ministries. And we are hosted by Minister Bernard, Elder Charles Lee, Pastor Toy, and myself, Brother Rob. And tonight, Elder Charles, right now him and his family are embarking on their journey, and we wish them, you know, the best. As they embark on their journey, as they move from one avenue of their life to open up another avenue. And as, you know, they say, one door closes and another one opens. And they are embarking on that journey. And besides that, you know, we just want to introduce, you know, the rest of our Roundtable Ministry hosts. And the first host I want to introduce is Minister Bernard.
Hey, what's going on? Y'all already know. What's up, family? Minister Bernard Marrow here. I'm excited, as always, to be back on tonight. We are coming together to give you an encouraging word from the Lord. We're going to do some dialogue tonight. We're going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, but we really want to encourage you all tonight as you press forward by faith towards the holiday season. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, and we also have Pastor Toy.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We're blessing and praising God for being here. I'm excited about our conversation tonight, excited about what the Lord is doing and what I'm believing that he's going to do.
Amen, amen. Okay, and so Minister Bernard, you want to just open us up in prayer and also open the topic?
Yes, sir. We thank you, Lord, for this moment. We thank you for this opportunity, but we thank you for this assignment. This is an assignment that you purposed us to fulfill, because even in the midst of what we're talking about, it still, all of it points back to you. Because you are our God. You are the only true living God, the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Your name is Jesus. And we thank you for all you've done, doing, and will do, for your sacrifice, your love, your grace, your mercy, your favor. And so have your way tonight, Holy Spirit. Give us scriptures. Give us whatever you want to be said tonight, Lord. Give it to us. Download it in us, so that we can give birth to it by declaring it tonight by faith in Jesus' name, so that we can pour it into your children, so that they can install it, live by it, and share it with others. We thank you, we love you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Have your way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So tonight, amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about implementing effective change. This is a topic that God has dropped in my spirit, simply because when we're talking about change, it's always a good conversation to have. It's always a good dialogue to have when you're talking about change, the importance of change, why we need change, the effectiveness of change, because change is always good. And when we implement the right change, effective change, that we need in our families, in our communities, on your job, wherever we go, we need the change. And it's important that not only that we have change, but that we know how to go about focusing on and going about getting the change that we need, implementing the change that we need. And we know that it starts with our minds. It starts with the decisions that we make. It starts with how we respond to situations. But most importantly, we can just sit back and watch what's taking place around us, once again, in our homes and communities and so forth. And that, you know, just watching what's happening and how things are unfolding, all that's going on around us, we see what the world needs. Now, we know that the world needs Jesus. We know that we need God because, first and foremost, God is God. God is in control, and we are because he is. And so everything points back to God. But also, having the dialogue tonight, implementing effective change, you know, so that way, you know, because let me just say this. We watch the news and we see everything that's happening, but what is it going to take? What is it going to take, not just in politics, not just in financial areas, but what is it really going to take? We have God's word as our foundation, and we know those of us who have God's word as our foundation, those of us who've been raised and taught through God's word, we have direction, we have understanding, we have instruction, but sometimes we have to go with God's word. We have to press forward a little further into really implementing effective change. And so I'm going to open up the floor for this first part. We're just going to really get into the importance of change and why change is needed. One of the things about change, God didn't create us to stay the same. God didn't create us to stay on one level. God didn't create us to not grow. God did not create us to not advance. God did not create us to not be effective. God did not create us for us to not rule or flow in the anointing that he has installed within us. He did not create us to not have dominion over the earth, right? Same way he gave dominion to Adam, he gave it to us, right? The enemy came and took what Adam had. The serpent took what Adam had. He deceived Eve, and she got Adam caught up in it. And next thing you know, the enemy took what God gave them, but then Jesus came, took it back from the enemy, and gave it back to us. And so God didn't create us to lack or to lose or to hold back or to be fearful or to not speak up. And so we need change because we need to grow, we need to come together, and we need to take ownership of who God created us to be. And we need to make sure that we're doing what's necessary so that our communities get better, our families get better, our jobs get better, the way we communicate, the way we treat each other, the mindsets that we have, especially when it comes to the examples we set for the youth, you know, the young adults, putting forth the right influence. There's so much that we can discuss when it comes to change. So this first half, based on all that I said thus far, I'm going to open up the floor to everybody online tonight to engage in, because I know once we start talking, it's going to flow. It's going to flow, and I know Holy Spirit is going to speak to us all. And then the second portion of tonight, as we press forward, there's four key points that I want to present to everybody on tonight, and even those who will be calling in to share as well, and we're going to get into those. But the floor is open, and I'm start with Pastor Toy, and then we can go with Brother Rob, and then we can press forward from there.
Don't forget that we have also with us Evangelist Todd T.C. Nelson, so he's going to be on with us to also tonight.
Yeah, we going. Yes, sir. You might as well jump in too. That's right.
Amen. You said a whole mouthful of stuff. So now, when I look at change, number one, change is a normal part of life. Everything in life changes. From the time you're born till the time the Lord takes you home, everything changes. And it's funny because with everything changing, change is the one thing that we as humans seem to have a hard time adjusting and accepting is when change takes place. However, we have to remember that in most instances, I'm not going to say always and all, but in most instances, change is a good thing. You know, when you give your life to Christ, you're changed. You're changed. That old man begins to die. That new man begins to be birthed and come forth. When you are first baptized with the Holy Spirit, there's a change that takes place. So change is something that we have to begin to embrace more, that we have to begin to implement more and make the younger generations, or not make, but teach the younger generations how to become more acceptive of. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Rob, you got it.
Okay, I'm just going to expound on what Pastor Toy said. And, you know, one of the things is that, you know, we don't understand is that we are constantly changing. And one of the things is from birth, you know, we learn to walk, crawl before we walk. And before we walk, we run. Those are changes. And those are natural changes that happen within us. You know, when we feel those changes coming about us, we always feel as though we have the need to walk. We always feel as though we have the need to run. We don't have to, you know, embrace all these fears at one time, because as a child, we took them on one at a time. Before we learned to crawl, we always knew we had a crutch, which was our parents. Before we knew we could walk, we always had that crutch, our parents. And just as well as we, you know, learned to run, you know, we had that crutch. And what that crutch was, it was faith. We were built in faith. We were born in faith. We know faith. We just don't exercise it all the time. Just as well as we overcome all of our fears one at a time, it's the same way we learn early in life. And this is something that we need to implement. And like you said, you know, implement an effective change. And how we implement that effective change is we have to understand how we got to learn how to have that faith in our parents, just as well as we have faith in our spiritual father up in heaven. And so as we embark on our journey, which is, you know, which we call life, we will always be evolving. We will always change. If we don't change, we go nowhere. So we have to remember that we learned this early in life. The seed was already planted. Let it blossom. And that's all I have to say right there.
Amen. Amen. Evangelist Todd, come on.
First, I want to give praise and honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's funny, I start with that, and I'm going to stay with that, because for me, 20 years of walking a Muslim and fighting against Christ, and then one day just to drop to my knees, and that's a major change.
Yeah.
You know, we're saying a change. We like Brother Robin and Sister were saying, we it's an evolving we have to do, you know. The change for me, I had to go to the change. I got to speak of myself. For me, that really was change, going to Christ, accepting Christ in my life, and not just accepting Christ, but being obedient. Learning for my change for me was learning that what I wanted for myself was no good. Learning that what I want for my, I don't know what I want for myself. I know that I've allowed God to show me the things that He has for me, and the changes that I have to make inside myself in order to achieve that goal that God has for me is a big change that comes out of my spirit. Too often we go and see, excuse me, man, I was talking earlier today, like the fleshly world, and there's two worlds we live in, the fleshly world and the spiritual world. The fleshly world does not affect the spiritual world at all, but that spiritual world, it just messes, you know, through Lucifer messes up, but through Christ guides us. Is a change when we learn, like I said, the change from Islam to Christianity was a real hard fight for me, because I was stuck with still believing what Islam was saying against Christianity. But learning and sitting down and knowing what God was saying to me, that learned me, so I sent opening my spiritual eyes to the ways of God, let me see the things I needed, that I was doing, I needed to make a change. It stopped me from going to prison. It stopped me from thinking evil thoughts. It stopped me from wanting to go out there and put hands on people when someone said something. If the word of God, the changes that it made for me, it stopped me and made me start thinking about things. You know, if we want to make a change in this world, we got to start with ourselves. I mean, I start with, I got the flesh and get into the spiritual world, because God is not in the flesh. God is in the spirit. He works within the inside of us. He changes within the inside of us. These are the changes we need to focus on, for spiritual changes, because we're always trying to change our flesh to either to do something better here or try to leave our name behind or something like that. But we need to make a change that's changing for God, not for mankind. Yeah. Because like in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7:14-15 says, when Jesus said, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, that's a change. In order to turn from your wicked ways, you got to realize you're being wicked. Your eyes, your spiritual eyes must be open to your ways. And once your eyes is open to those ways, then God is seeing a different way, then the change can come. But we have to make that change from flesh to spirit and stay in that spiritual world, because that's the world that's affecting our world.
Amen. Amen. And it's getting good already, y'all. I mean, change is so necessary because we're created to change what needs to be changed in the world. And Evangelist Ty, you hit it right on the nose, because in order to change others or other environments, we have to change ourselves first. And here is two very important key points when it comes to change. When it comes to change, the reason why change is necessary, because like Pastor Tori say, everything changes. But the reason why change is necessary also is because the way we were raised, what we were taught through God's word, what we were taught by our families, it's important that we learn how to apply it so that we change properly. So what do I mean by changing properly? It's so that as we grow, or as the youth grow, they will mature and not get caught up and not get caught off guard and not get derailed or not get badly or wrongfully influenced, which we know a lot of those things happen. But then also a second key point why change is so necessary and important, because when we do grow up, after we done did our own thing, after we done learned our lessons, after we done, you know, been where we wanted to be, but now we're in position and we've learned and we're applying what we've learned, now we can press forward and be effective in changing what needs to be changed around us. But it does start with us. You know, God created us so that we can change what needed to be changed in the world. But it starts with us. And like you said, it's spiritual. And it's spiritual, and because it's spiritual, it starts with our mind. And you led me right to it, which Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Basically, it's your responsibility. And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so in order to be the change and be effective with implementing change, you have to start with yourself. But when you start with yourself, it's knowing that you have to start with your mind, because it's how you think. The way you think, it's going to show in how you talk. It's going to show in how you treat people. It's going to show in how you respond to situations. It's going to show through your actions. That's why God says, so a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What's in you is what's going to come out of you. And so you got to always be in a position to do an assessment and an examination to say, Lord, what needs to be taken away from me? Purify me, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me so that I'm holy and acceptable unto you, and so that I can be effective in living this life you created me to live. So everything else that you did not create for me to be affected by, like stress and doubt and suicidal thoughts and fear and depression and frustration, those things have to go so that we can see clearly, we can hear clearly, we are in position to follow God's instruction,
and we are effective. We can love people. We can encourage people. We can inspire people. We can set the right examples. We can put forth the right influences and letting people know that change is great and that you don't always have to feel like you always got to be like everybody else. You can be uniquely who you, uniquely who God created you to be, you know, and that's a part of change as well, because so many times people get so caught up in always trying to be like other people or being scared to branch out because they, you know, always being used to hanging around the same people. And we're not implementing negativity because, and we're not implementing separation or leaving people hanging. But sometimes you do have to branch out because you got to branch out to get yourself together and, wow, and branch out so that you can get to a point of being strong enough so that when you bounce back, you're not bouncing back to do what you used to do before you left. You're bouncing back because now you want to implement the change that took place in your life before you, when you left. You know? So the floor is open. And then God also gives us an instruction, and here's the assurance and the comfort. God gives us an instruction in Psalms chapter 32, verse 8. In the New Living Translation, it says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." And so a lot of, you know, all of us, you know, we grew up in church, raised in church. Even if you were just took to church, you had to go because your parents took you. At the end of the day, you were raised in church. You had moments where you were being taught through God's word, your parents were raising you as they saw fit. And then at some point you branched out, but God always gives us opportunities to jump back in and to press forward in the right direction because he is with us. And he's already given us his word, his instruction, and his wisdom so that when we do say, you know what, enough is enough. I've seen too much happen in my life. I've seen too much ruckus and craziness happen in my life. I'm tired of doing the same thing over and over again. I'm tired of feeling like I'm losing or I'm not advancing or I'm not achieving anything. I'm feel like my life is redundant and it's repetitious and I'm in a cycle and I'm trying to figure out how to break out of it. And I see everything that's going on in the world and in the community with the violence and the protests, and I see what's happening in politics, and I see what's happening with the economy. You know what? I need to change. And soon as I change, now I can implement effective change because now I can start a nonprofit. Now I can do research and find resources. Now I can figure out how to help the community. Now I can set the right examples. Now I can be a light. I can shine bright the way God created me to. And then now I can, you know, make my family proud, but most importantly, now I can make God proud by giving him the glory because now I'm allowing change to take place in my life.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So real quickly, I just want to say something. Real quickly. And, you know, and this goes into, you were in Romans, and I just want to go back a little bit into Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 20. And this is culminates the whole total 4-year realm of the presidency. And the reason why I'm saying this is because that sometimes there is something that we don't see that happens. And so what happens was President Trump basically interceded where we never saw it. So I'm going to read chapter 18. "Consequently, just as one trespass results in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act results in justification and life for all people. For as just through the obedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increase all the more." And that goes to let us know that even though there was a greater sin being committed on top of this nation, the faith was still there. and it was increased the more. And I just want, you know, to let everybody know that, you know, even though through all this turmoil and all that, that, you know, for just the grace and us being faithful, you know, it increased more. And as a nation, you know, we're starting to heal ourselves because, you know, this is a big fissure that happened to us, a four-year fissure that, you know, we have to overcome. Because not only did, you know, he made the rich more richer, he made the poor more poor, and he made it seem as though everybody benefited, but nobody benefited but the rich. And that is something that, you know, we have to overlook as far as being Christians, because, and I say overlook, you know, a lot of people say, well, why are we overlooking this? Because God, you know, he is a God of love. He's a God of joy. He's a God of ever-giving grace. And guess what? For those who have been patient, those who have been going through this turmoil of, you know, this atrocities, I can say, that has happened to us, and it was looked upon as being a blessing to us, now truly we'll get a chance for it to be a blessing. And, you know, this is where you have to make sure you increase your faith even when, you know, what is presented to you as a gift is not a gift. This is where you pray more. This is where you be the prayer warrior that you need to be. This is where you pray over your families, you pray over your friends, you pray over everybody that you can possibly pray over. Because what we went through is something that, you know, have never happened in the whole history of the whole country, where though a non-politician came in, made the rich richer, and made the poor poor, and through it all, we still survived. And so for that, you know, we have to just, you know, thank God that, you know, through all this, you know, we still remain whole. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor. Go ahead, Evangelist.
I praise God for, like, one thing for high school, because he made Jesus not a historian buff. And when I look back at the history of mankind from beginning to 2020, I look at all of the Hitlers and the Waco, Texas guys and all these people that was in history that done so much evil, and yet God still prevailed. You look at those 4 years with this one guy that just left, God still prevails. You know, when that change, that spiritual change come with you, you start looking into, through looking through Jesus' eyes on things. When you're going through you go back over history and going over through history and going through history, and you look at how history and how this happened in this century in the 1400s, this right here, when the witches were killing the women, saying they were witches when they weren't. And all these things all proved down to man's desires. It goes back to what we started off with, that change within ourselves. Too often, too many times, people want to put this person and that person and that person ahead of anybody else when you're not spiritually guided. I constantly, looking through the history, God is constantly pointing out to us that how his spirit overrode all these evil spirits that had planned. I mean, you look at Hitler, how he wiped out half the Jews. You know what I mean? Look at Africa, how they came and took all of them off the boats and threw them over the sea. Look at how the Indians were on the land first, and they came and took the land from them. Look at all these things that happened, and yet you still see God prevails. Just as you were saying, Brother Bob, we have to, it is a must that we call on the Spirit of God, that we be the vessel that God allows, wants to use so these changes can keep on happening. Just like when the man just got put out now. When God is tired, we have to get a true understanding. When God is tired of something, his change will come. And when his change comes, he pushes people out of the way. You know, and the best example is that, the 40 days, those 40 years that they walked in the desert. They came to the promised land when the last person of those boys, that decade died off. Then God opened them up into that promised land. Because you did not do what God wanted you to do, that's okay. You know, you do what you want to do. But God's plan still will go forth. You just won't be in those plans no more. I look at the history and because God is putting Jesus our ministry is to put focus on Lucifer, to point his ID, his temptations on his influences on men. Is that's the reason why we look at history to see his history, his fingerprints and thoughts of man. And even in 2022, you can still see the city is Spider-Man and Gomorrah. Just as he destroyed those cities, other cities are in the danger of the same things if we, as a people, don't come together and call on the helm and clean ourselves up. We can sit all day and talk about it. It all sounds good to God, but God said, if you're not a doer, if you're not doing your time, we have to understand this is not a game. Heaven and hell
right.
is truly real. And one day you're going to find out. What I've learned in my life is learned that where do I want to put myself? Because even though you say you Christian all like that, don't mean you're going to get it. Because you may stand in front of Christ and he tell you, be gone from me, worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But I cast demons out in your name. Yeah, you did that, but you did it for yourself, satisfaction rather than for me. We have to start looking and stop trying to put ourselves and thrust ourselves above things. And we start doing that then and only then, you start thinking about somebody else. If you ain't never walked being homeless, you don't understand what it means by thinking about somebody else. If you ain't never been down before, you really don't understand. We know what it means to be down. We know what it means to be out. But do we truly know what it means to be up? Because I know no matter what I'm going through, as long as Christ is with me, I'm up. And as long as I can allow myself to let Christ use me, somebody else is going to be up. That's the change of thought we have to start changing. Like the mentor was saying, change our thought of mind. That's what God said. We know the mind, we know the heart. When we change our mind, our patterns, then positive things come. Like I always tell young men on the street, it is so easy to do negative because you see it every single day. Negative rises into your foot when you wake up in the morning. But it's so hard to do positive because it's something that you don't see. You have to strive and work for positivity to come. But once you keep working and striving for positivity to come, as long as your brain thoughts are positive, then positive things will happen. And when positive things will happen,
Amen.
All these negative things will have to be moved out.
Yeah.
Because positive
yeah.
is Christ. Negative is Lucifer. When you're focusing on Christ, positive things will happen. I know for a fact, we did 6 walks in Coastville, my town I live in. We did 6 walks. And out of those 6 walks in one street that they were shooting and killing themselves today, you can go down on that street at 12 o'clock at night and nobody's there. And this was before COVID. So I know the hand of God works. I know he works. And I've seen it. But you have to make that change inside yourself. For we all need to keep in mind and thought, Jesus didn't come down there for himself. So if Jesus resides in you, then you ain't for you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Pastor
Troy. Amen. Well, y'all done truthfully said everything. y'all
yeah,
done just ran
here.
Again.
That's why you're here.
And then y'all go, Pastor Troy, all I can say truthfully is ditto to everything everybody just said. I do want to remind us, though, to piggyback off of Evangelist Todd, because a scripture that you hear people quote a lot, faith without works are what?
Mm-hmm.
Dead. So as we talk about change, we can talk and talk and just believe God that a change is coming, but if we don't take some steps towards that thing that we believe in God
That's
for,
right.
we're not going to see the fulfillment of it. Even
That's
the scripture
right. yeah.
that Evangelist Todd was talking about earlier, 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, now that part really don't have nothing to do with us except if we do or don't accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we are God's people or not, and if we're called by his name or not. But then it starts talking about, said, if my people, the fact that it starts with if means that there's something coming behind it, which are called by my name. Now, what does it say next? It tells us stuff to do. We have to humble ourselves. We
mm-hmm.
have to pray. We have to seek God's face. Now, for most saints, we do that. We pray. We get a little humble. I pray y'all are getting humble when we pray, but we get humble when we pray. We seek God's face. This is the part most believers struggle with. Turn from your wicked ways. Up, that means we got to stop sitting on the phone gossiping about folk. That means we got to stop sitting there trying to figure out how to get over on stuff. We got to sit there and start trusting God on what God has said. We have to start accepting God's yeas to be yeas and his nays to be nay. And here go the part that's going to make people mad. We got to start accepting things as sin if God said it was sin. I don't care that everybody having sex without marriage. Just because everybody doing it don't make it less of a sin. God still said it was sin. I don't care if everybody's killing everybody. It's still a sin. I don't care if we're hating people because of the color of their skin. It's still a sin. God said in his word that he is the same today, yesterday, and will be forevermore. So if he doesn't change, why is it that we want to pretend like he changes and go, oh, well, you know, everybody doing it. Everybody going to bust hell wide open. It got to start with us. We have to be that first part of the change that we want to see in everybody else. It has to start with us. We got to start changing first.
Yeah. That's good. We got to start to change first. You know, we can never do what other people do. Somebody has to stand up and stand out and be different and own. You got to know who you are, embrace who you are, and love who you are. You have to make it's a choice. Let me tell you, Pastor Tori, what dropped in my spirit when you said the word if. And here's what I've been sharing with my wife throughout the weekend. When it comes to doing things, it's a choice. It is a choice. And a lot of people operate in free will. A lot of people operate in free will. And, you know, God has a way of getting our attention. And we can't always operate in free will, because when he wants your attention, he's going to get it. It doesn't always mean death and danger, but he has a way of getting your attention. And it is a choice. And so when you say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, God's saying if for a reason. Because even in that if, he's still giving you an opportunity to make a decision. So if my people who are called by my name. That's why we got to say, you know what, God, I choose you. You know what? Yeah. I choose the life you created me to live. You know what? Mm. I choose to have the mindset you gave me. You know what? I choose to walk in your favor, because when I'm obedient, I got blessings coming. Come on. I choose to walk in the anointing that you put on my life, because when I'm flowing by faith, I'm untouchable. I'm unstoppable. Mm-hmm. When I'm in faith, mm-hmm. I'm not in my feelings. And when I'm not in my feelings, the devil can't touch me. Because when I am in my feelings, that's when the enemy going to try to come. Because it is faith that makes me effective. So if I make a choice to walk by faith and to focus on living my life the way God created me to live, then I can live by faith, and it will position me to be untouchable, unstoppable, unshakable, unbreakable, and I can press forward in this earth. I can tear down walls. I can tear down strongholds. I can break cycles. I can defeat generational curses. I can break tradition, and I can press forward by faith, and I can be victorious, and I can be the change that I want to see in this earth. And that's what the Lord told me to tell you tonight. Be the change that you want to see. You have to be the change. Somebody got to follow the leader. Who going to be the leader? All of us created to be leaders, but when you going to step up and take the lead? And so you got to step up and take lead so that people can follow your example, but you got to make sure you're setting the right example. So change is necessary, but change is a choice. And you have to make the choice that I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of missing out. I'm tired of holding back. I'm tired of people talking about me. I'm tired of seeing what's happening out there in the world. So guess what? I need change. Listen, my friends, listen, I love y'all. God bless you. No love lost. Be cool.
Yes, Lord.
I see y'all when I see y'all, but I got to dip. I got to break away from y'all because I got to get my mind.
Yeah.
I got to break away from y'all because I got to get in the Word of God. I got to break away from y'all because I need to detox some things. You know what I mean? And that's what happened. Listen, I'm not just
Amen.
Teaching this. I'm a living witness because I broke away from my friends. And there was no shadiness. There was no love lost. I had to break away. And even when I got the phone calls, yo, where you at? We ain't seen you. What's up? What's good? You coming around? Listen, I got to stay focused. I done put some goals in place. I done set some goals. I got some projects in place. I got some things that I'm working on. I'm focusing on ministry. Listen, I see y'all when I see y'all. If you really want to change and grow and help others to do the same, you got to be bold as a lion. Can I give you this revelation real quick? And then I'm going to give you this revelation. I'm going to drop this nugget on y'all. Why do you think Jesus, one of Jesus' many names is he's the Lion of Judah? Because when you think of a lion is the king of the jungle. The lion is in control. The lion is the leader. And nothing happens in the forest or the jungle unless the lion gives the permission. And if somebody do something in the forest or in the jungle without the lion's permission, they know they got a problem. If anybody try to come against the lion, they're going to get took out. The lion is a beast. The lion got power. The lion got strength. And nobody can come against the lion because they know they don't want that work. Because they know if I go mess with the lion, I'm going to get dealt with, and I'm cool. I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to stay in my lane. That's why Jesus is the Lion of Judah, because he's the king of the world. He's the Lion of Judah because he's a force to be reckoned with. And he's not going to allow you to do what you want to do in this world without consulting with him first. And the reason why he's the Lion of Judah, because a lion is bold. A lion is fearless. A lion has no fear at all. And so you got to rise up and be the lion that God created you to be, meaning you cannot be hesitant. You cannot be fearful. You cannot procrastinate. You cannot be lazy. You got to be bold as a lion, because it even says in God's word, help me, Holy Ghost. It even says in God's word that his righteousness is even bold. His righteousness is even bold as a lion. So, listen, change is necessary, family. Change is so necessary. So I want to give y'all this one scripture, and I want to ask Pastor Toy to give the invitation to discipleship, give an opportunity for those who are listening tonight. You got the best opportunity right now to make the best change you ever accepted, ever. I want to give you this one scripture, and then we're going to go from there. She's going to do the invitation to accept Christ, and then I'm gonna present four key PowerPoints that we all can pick. You can speak on the same one, or you can pick a different one and speak on it. But here it is, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And the word of the Lord says, in the King James Version, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to read it in the New Living Translation, and the word of the Lord says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. And so let me just simply break it down to you. God loves you so much that he's given you time to repent. He loves you so much that he's given you time to make the right decision. A lot of times we get mad and we get frustrated and you feel some type of way because, oh, I prayed for this and I prayed for that and God ain't doing it. It ain't that he ain't doing it. And it's not that he don't want to do it. He's just giving you time to get yourself right first. And he loves you so much. God loves us so much for the simple fact that when he returns, he don't want to destroy nobody. He don't want to lose nobody. And so he said, and in this, in 2 Peter chapter 3, they were talking about his second coming. And so they're like, oh, where's the promise of his return? He like, listen, I ain't slacking. I ain't been, you want me to come right now? Because if I come right now, you're going to wish I hadn't. Do you really want me to come right now? I'm not slack in my return. I'm not slacking in what I promised. I'm being patient for your sake. Because if I come right now, you're going to wish that I gave you more time. And so that's what God is doing. He's trying to get us to see, listen, get yourself together. Get yourself together. Get focused. Step up. And focus on implementing the right, effective change. God got so many great things in store for you. You just got to follow his instructions, and he'll take care of everything else. Pastor Tori, you got the floor.
Hallelujah, God. And we are going to start right there at Romans chapter 10 and start reading at the 9th verse. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's really all it takes for a person to give their life to Christ, to get into the right fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Is all right there if he confesses with his mouth. But you know what? Y'all know me. I always want to make sure that we understand exactly what God's word is saying. So I'm going to read that to you from the Message version. And I'm going to read just a little bit further than from the 10th verse. And what it says in the Message version, it says, the word that saves is right here. And if you don't know what that word is, it's Jesus Christ. As near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of all of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. And the welcoming word to God is simply, Jesus is my master. Jesus is my master. Embracing body and soul. You have to mean that with everything in you. As soon as you say it, Jesus is my master. Embracing body and soul. God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God, setting things right, and then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Hallelujah, God. And scripture reassures us, no one who trusts God like this, their heart and their soul will ever regret putting their trust in God. Hallelujah, God. And you know, normally I tell y'all to repeat after me and I'll give y'all this elaborate prayer, but I'm going to be honest. The Message version summed it up. If you want to begin that change that we've been talking about, if you would like to be part of the change that you want to see take place in the world, the change first has to start with you. And then you have to be connected with that power to bring about that change. And the way to connect with that power is for you to say it, believing it in your heart, believing it in your soul, believing it in your spirit, believing it in your mind. Jesus is my master. And as soon as you say it, then you can let somebody know that God has set things right between you and him. Hallelujah, God. And as soon as you let someone know that, according to God's word, I just read it for you, you are saved, and we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Understand, y'all ain't hear me say nothing about waiting until Sunday morning to go stand in front of the altar or Sabbath worship or prayer service, Bible study, youth service, joy night. No, all of that's about a church membership. And we encourage you to obtain the church membership, just like we encourage people to feed their children healthy, because it's through that church membership that you should be getting spiritually fed so that you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we encourage you to do that so that you can heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But that is not about a church membership. It's about a personal relationship with God. And despite what everybody's telling you, God said in his word, you heard Jesus say it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. So just say, Jesus is my master, and then turn and let somebody know that this evening, the first piece of your change has taken place, and you can let people know that God is making things right between him and you through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we pray that you will find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary. But until you do, bless God. That's why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Brother Rob is going to come on and give you some announcements on how you can follow us, as well as how you can join us for worship tomorrow evening. And then Pastor Bernard will be back to give you some further information. Brother Rob?
Yes, yes. Oh, wow. Yes, I agree with, you know, everything you said, and, you know, and especially the last part, you know, we suggest you find, you know, a Bible-believing teaching sanctuary on Zoom or some other avenue. We know that, you know, the coronavirus is real, and that, you know, we, you know, had to make an effort as far as attending some kind of service. You know, the only way you can't have, you know, a way of attending some kind of service or finding a service is if your animal, like a bear, or, you know, a bear has no choice but to hibernate, you know, in the wintertime, you know, and just as well as, you know, other animals like a fish, they can't survive without being in water. You know, we can have a choice. We do have a choice. We don't have a choice to sit by and not make that choice, and we hope to make a choice to find a Bible-believing teaching sanctuary. And with that being said, I'm going ahead with the announcements. This is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network, and we'd like to thank everybody for joining us for tonight's episode, which is episode 1346. We thank you so much, whether you're calling us online or you're listening to us via phone. We just thank you so much for your support. We just thank you for your support and listenership here at Purpose Kingdom Network. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello. You can send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We also invite you to like us on our Facebook page, which is Purpose Kingdom on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And we just gladly appreciate those that share with their friends and family members. And we thank you so much. Tomorrow evening's program, which is at the 9 p.m. hour, with God's will and God's blessing, should be DTW Ministries. If not, we would probably have some alternate programming that you can just stay tuned and you can follow up and see what we have programmed tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour on Purpose Kingdom on Facebook. We'll be, you know, we greatly share our advertisements, and we hope that you share that with your friends and family members. We just thank you so much, you know, for, you know, your support. And with that being said, We're going to go back into our program. We're going to reintroduce Minister Bernard.
Amen. Amen. So here's the thing, family. We got about 6 minutes. And so I want to present these four key points back to all of us on tonight to discuss these things so that we can wrap everything up for you in a nutshell. All right. And so we just thank God for Purpose Kingdom Network and our CEO, Pastor Tyling Daly, and we thank God for all of his messengers on Purpose Kingdom Network and all that God is doing through all of us individually. And let's press forward, family. Also, you can check out the website at SEA Express. You can connect with all of us as we all press forward by faith and give God all the glory. And so, family, these next four key points. So here's it is. When it comes to implementing effective change, knowing where to start is one. How to approach is two. What's needed? What's needed for yourself? And then what's needed for the area where you're trying to implement the change? And then the fourth one is, how to maintain the change. Okay, so knowing where to start. And so we talked about that. You want to start with yourself. You start with your own mind. You want to start with your own heart. And after you start with yourself, and then now when you press forward, fully walking in who God created you to be, you also still need to know where to start. The second one, how to approach. You can't approach everybody the same way. You can't approach every area the same way. You can't approach every community the same way. And so it's knowing how to approach in order to implement effective change. You know, what's needed? What do I need for myself? First and foremost, we all need Jesus. We all need God's word. But knowing what you need, I need to renew my mind. I need to strengthen my ambition. I need to be more ambitious. I need to be more inspired. I need to be more encouraged. I need to be more productive. What do you need? And what do you need to do in the area that God assigns you to in order to implement effective change? And then lastly, how to maintain the change? First of all, we go to God in prayer. That's one. Two, we worship God. That's three. Two. Three, we give God praise. Hey, that's three. Four, we got God's word. You know, there's so many different things that we can do to maintain the change, and that is really, you know, being consistent. So I want to let Brother Rob go first, and then Evangelist Todd, and then Pastor Toy, to just pick from them four and just elaborate on those to really bless the people of God.
Okay. Yeah, real quickly, and I'll just make it short and sweet. You know, there are oppositions to everything that we do in life. We will never, ever not have any oppositions to, you know, the choices that we make, because there are always a door opening and a door closing. Sometimes we have to slam the door shut, and sometimes we may have to ease it shut. How we do it and how we, you know, and how we implement the changes that we make in our life, we have to make sure that we make it decisive, and we can't be, you know, complacent in doing some things. Sometimes, you know, there may be a door that is able to be opened that we thought that was closed. Sometimes we may slam shut a door that never meant to be opened again. But the one thing we do know is that when we walk through faith, that no matter if we make a wrong choice or a right choice, the choice we make is going to be how we deal with the things that we have to deal with. And on that, you know, it seems complicated, but guess what? Life is not made to be easy. Life is always made to be challenged, because guess what? How can you overcome, and on top of that, how can you just become the strong person that you are in Christ if you don't face challenges? And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be tested. He wants us to be battle forged. He wants us to be forged as if iron is sharpened iron. And that's just the way things are. And if you can't, or you can't or don't want to face the battle that is placed in front of you, then, you know, you have a major problem, because guess what? The battle is not over. When the battle is over is when he brings you home the victory. Until then, you're going to battle on. You're going to be a soldier in Christ. We're all soldiers in Christ, and we all want to fight battles, and we always need to continue to fight battles. No matter how much we think that we have, you know, the victory, no matter how much we think that, you know, the battle is over, the battle is won, he lets us know, and he calls us home. Until then, we fight the battle. We fight the good fight. We fight the, you know, we fight on the side of the Lord. We are soldiers in Christ. And that's just the simple fact of what it is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus is not going to take maintaining it. It's like what we were saying before. In order for us to maintain something, we must know, like the guy's words regularly. You have to apply God's words. This is something that we have to learn in order for us to maintain this fight that we're fighting. We first must learn who we are fighting against. We must learn as a boxer, as a martial artist, as a Marine. We must learn our enemies. We must learn who is standing in front of us. When we learn who our enemy is, we learn how to defeat our enemy by learning how our enemy works. When we learn how our enemy works, we can maintain our ground, because we can put our ground up in Christ. We have to maintain a steady habit. Joshua 1 and 8 tells us, when you meditate, meditate on what you study. God, you're trying to tell us, his words are not our words, our thoughts are not his thoughts, and his thoughts are not ours. So if anything for us to maintain in Christ, we must constantly, daily have a steady habit. We have to constantly, daily have a prayer habit. We must much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power, no prayer, no power. We have to understand that this world that we are living in is being controlled by the fleshly world we should be going into. Once we understand that this world is being guided and God is in control of everything, we know who to go to. Obedience must come in. Doers must be, I'm going out. We must keep going out and keep doing what God tells us to do, and constantly keep going on and maintaining this daily and daily and daily. It's a process, as my brother Rob was saying, we can never, ever give this up. We must always keep in our mind that our enemy never rests, never sleeps, never takes vacation, never takes a break. We are the ones, we have to understand that this spiritual world is trying to destroy us and control us. We are the ones in control of that. If we allow God to be our driving force, that will maintain everything. You think about how every day you get by the struggle that we fight every day. How many times in the day do you call out Christ? Keep calling out to him. Teach others to call out to him. Help others learn how to call out. Make your focus more on doing what walk in Jesus' sandals. Do what he did, as we're supposed to do. As Apostle Paul tells us, to denounce ourselves and take on the fullness of Christ. By taking on the fullness of Christ, you are having to be studying every day. You're praying every day. You're praying during it. You wake up in the morning. You're praying at night. You're focused on trying to do that change right there. Others see and grab on. That's allowing the Spirit of God to be moved on from you onto others and onto others and onto others. As evil spirits move that way, so the Spirit of God. We have to be that open vessel so that Spirit can be passed on. And that's maintaining what God wants. The only way we can maintain God's will is to be in his will and to do his will. We must have love for one another. We must learn to change our thoughts. We must learn to look through the eyes that are better than ones we're seeing through now. Because this world is not going to be here for long. But that internal world is going to be there forever. And that world there is the world that You got to ask yourself. I know I ask myself every day, am I truly doing the things that's going to get me into heaven? You have to constantly do what the Corinthians did. It was called spiritual checkup. They constantly made sure they were making sure they were on the right path. Did they get God's hands in their lives? When they did the analyze of their days to make sure if they had hurt somebody, they said something, the next day they were going to make an amends for that. Making our lives better. When someone sees your walk and sees your change, and seeing that change in your walk and knows that change is of God, they'll start making that same walk. You're like a magnet. God will bring them to you. They have to understand that we're not what's in control. We're not the ones that created everything, and we don't know the plan that God has for us. But if we're obedient, as God says, and serve Him fully, we will get that picture that we're trying to get. We have to learn when we change ourselves to maintain that change, because you can change right back into your old self. That's a fight. My mother Bob was saying, that's a daily fight. The Lucifer is not going to give up. In order to maintain this victory to be getting today, learn your enemy and equip to fight against him properly. Only in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Pastor Toy.
Hey, so I'm going to do a little bit of I'm going to speak a little bit on implementing as well as maintaining. When it comes to change in the body of Christ, one of the reasons that we have such a hard time accepting change is because we become self-centered, self-ambitious, arrogant or prideful, and we step out of unity. You know, is this change going to make me look good? Is this change going to get me to the position I'm trying to obtain? Is this change going to make me look bad? But when you look at it truthfully, self-centeredness, self-ambition, and all those things I just named, they are all the opposite of what God tells us to display to one another. So if we're going to first bring about an implementation of change, we have to do it as described in Philippians 2:1-4. We have to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. So if you want to be the change, you have to get you out of the way and start making those around you more important than you. Amen. Jesus Christ was God in flesh. He was God tabernacling among us. And at no point did he go, man, nix this. I'm God. I know what they're going to do. I done seen it. I know what's coming down the pike. Anyway, lay up here and put my life on the line for some folk that's going to turn against me, tell me I wasn't real, get caught up in arguments about if I was black or if I was white, or talk about which days they should serve me or which ways they should worship me. He didn't sit there and say, oh, I'm not doing all of that. He came knowing what we were going to do, knowing what his creation was going to fall prey to, and he loved us unto the cross and beyond. So if you want to implement change, you got to start with Philippians 2:1-4. Now, if you want to maintain that change, you then have to start with changing your attitude. You have to get the attitude of Christ. And as I was just saying, the attitude of Christ was not one of power, but it was one of humility and servanthood. Philippians tells us that he didn't look at his position in heaven and say, oh, I'm God, so I won't. But he actually turned to his father and said, yo, you prepared the body for me before the foundation of this world. Give me this body. Let me go do what I got to do. I'm summarizing, y'all. Don't go look for it to be read that way in the scripture. I'm summarizing. He just said, give me that body. Let me go do what I got to do. We're going to go handle this thing for our people, for our creation, for everything that was created through me. Because remember, Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. Every time you hear, and when every time you read God said, and then it starts to tell you what he said, as soon as it said God said and starts with the word let, that's where Jesus showed up on the scene. God said peace, that was Jesus showing up on the scene. Soon as it tells you what he said, that's where you see Jesus at. He came down and he did not force himself on us, but he exercised both grace and truth in dealing with his creation. And it was in him exercising that grace and that truth, that mindset of Christ, that people begun to turn from their wicked ways and give their lives and become saved. They were able to get the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were able to be empowered from above. So until we get that mindset of Christ, and not that mindset of us. Years ago, there used to be a thing, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We don't say that a lot no more because it's played out, but we need to play that back in. We need to ask ourselves a lot. Before we do anything, what would Jesus do? Because if we were to take on the mindset of Jesus Christ and do what he would do, don't just say what he would do. Don't just ask what he would do. But then do what he would do, we'd be able to maintain any change that we would bring about. And that's all I got to say about that.
Amen. Amen. I'll say one thing. God honors consistency.
Yeah.
God honors consistency. And the best thing that you can do, family, is be consistent. Be consistent in your craft, in your music, in your writing, in your creating, your creativity. Be consistent on your job. Be consistent in ministry and serving. Be consistent in your community, with your family, or everywhere you go, be consistent being who you are. God honors consistency. If you want to maintain the change that you want to see in your life, or the change that you're working towards, or the things that God is changing in your life, the best thing you can do to maintain change is to be consistent. Be consistent in reading God's word. Be consistent in going to him in prayer. Be consistent in worshiping him. Be consistent in maintaining your faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Be consistent. Be consistent. God honors consistency, and he'll bless you. He'll take care of you. I'm telling you, when you are consistent, God will see your heart. And he'll begin to open up doors. He'll begin to make ways for you. Be consistent. The best thing you can do as you apply God's word, as you do what his word say do, as you go where he says go, as you speak in the way he instructs you to, be consistent. That's all you got to do.
Hallelujah.
Be consistent. Be consistent. Amen. Maintain who God created you to be. Just be consistent. Don't be all over the place. Don't be one way this time and another way another time. Be consistent and press forward by faith. We love y'all. God bless you. We're grateful for tonight's discussion, and we give God all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We love you, family. God bless you all.
Well, wait a minute now. I'm sorry. I'm glad you stopped.
Okay.
I wanted I'm sorry, Minister Bernard, Pastor, if you could come forward and give the information, because don't you have a book release going on?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Let us know how we can get that.
Yeah, so basically here it is, family, to God be all the glory. I released my first book this past Friday. It's titled Minister Bernard Marrow, Morning Devotional, Inspired to Press Forward. It's titled Morning Devotional, Inspired to Press Forward. It's 31 devotions and declarations that will inspire you to press forward by faith. 31 devotions and declarations that will inspire you to press forward by faith. It also has some additional readings in the back of the book. I share a testimony in the back of the book.
I talk about the ministry of By Faith Be Good in the back of the book, the vision, what's happening, what has happened, what's to come. Also in the back of the book, there's four additional readings, four PowerPoints that God has blessed me to speak on, to write about, to really help you press forward by faith. The first one you can read in the back, the first PowerPoint is how to press forward by faith. The second one is how to press forward through all challenges. The third one is how to press forward in being exactly who God created you to be. And the fourth one is how to press forward to win. Okay? So the book is available on Amazon. You can type in the search engine, Bernard Marrow, and it will pop up. It's available on Barnes and Noble's website. You can type in my name, and it will pop up. Also, it's available, I believe, on Books a Million. It's available on so many different online sites. You can type in my name and find it. You can also order the book from me directly. I will be shipping out books.
Amen.
Books this week. I will be shipping out books this week. So here's the deal, family. If you order your book from me this week only, if you order your book from me directly, I am the book will be a flat rate of $15. The book is $14.99 online. The book is $14.99 online, but if you order it online, obviously you got shipping and handling, and you can probably be paying around $20, $21 by the time you check out. So if you order it directly from me also, the book is a flat rate of $15, okay? I am waiving the shipping and handling costs, and I am taking care of that cost myself. So that is the deal. If you get it from me this week only, it is a flat rate of $15. You can cash at me or you can PayPal me, and then email me your shipping information and your Cash App or PayPal name so that I can make your I can match your email with your payment. And then we will go ahead and make sure you get your book. Those who order their books from me directly, I will sign your book before it's shipped to you. If you order your book from me, I will sign it before it is shipped to you. If you order your book online, then we're asking that you be patient and be on standby until a book signing event is scheduled. But to God be all the glory. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to give birth to this book that God has purposed and assigned to be released in the earth to help you press forward by faith. My Cash App is $MinisterMarrow. It is the abbreviation of minister. It is M-I-N, and then my last name, M-A-R-R-O-W. That is the Cash App. Money sign, capital M, lowercase I-N, and then my last name, capital M, lowercase A-R-R-O-W. That is my Cash App, Minister Marrow. And my PayPal is the same. It is paypal.me/MinisterMarrow. Okay, M-I-N-M-A-R-R-O-W. And so you can send me a payment. And then once you send me a payment, family, you can email me at connectwithministermarrow@gmail.com. Connect with M-I-N dot M-A-R-R-O-W at gmail.com. Send me your shipping information and the name of your Cash App or PayPal so that I can match your payment with your email, and we will be confirming that we received all of your information and payment, and we'll notify you as soon as your book is shipped. I got a notification today that books will be in this Wednesday. This Wednesday, I am getting the first shipment of the books. They will be available here Wednesday,
and I will be stuffing envelopes. I will be stuffing packages, and we will be sealing them up, putting your information on them, and taking them to the post office. And you will be getting your book very soon. You'll be receiving your book between the first and second week of December, and I'm excited for you to get inspired to press forward by faith. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to say you can put my book up. I will be cash apping you Thursday evening or Friday morning. So you can put my book right on up. Thank you. Bless God.
Yes,
praise
ma'am.
God. I apologize.
And you can put,
I know I
said I'm going to purchase two books. You can put mine up too.
Got
Amen.
It.
So I just wanted to make sure you got that information out. Because although I've had nothing to do with this, I take credit all the time. You'd have thought that I was your mama. I'm so proud.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm
so
God
proud all the glory. Yeah.
Of what God is
well,
doing
I'm sorry.
In
I
your life.
I can't claim any more things as far as kids. So I'll support you right here. And,
yes,
you know, much success, and I hope, you know, everything works out well, and I hope, you know, your book reaches and inspires, you know, as many people as they can.
One
yes,
more
sir,
thing before we close out. I'm sorry, Rob, I'm sorry. I should have texted this to you in decency and in order, and it slipped my mind, charged it to my head, not my heart. Please, everyone, end of the year, if you're making plans for the end of this year, the end of 2020, we invite you to join us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be in annual end of the year revival. Hallelujah, God. We are coming up on our fifth annual end of the year revival. Our topic this year is I'm Still Standing. And when you look at what this year has thrown at us, if you... It's something to be able to say that you are still standing on that firm foundation. But our topic, I'm still standing. Our topic scripture is actually Psalms 91:7. And I'm going to paraphrase it. It basically says, while you watching everybody fall all around you, God is not going to let any harm come near you. That's why we say we are still standing. Hallelujah, God. We will be starting December 25th with our very own Minister Bernard. Jump starting that revival. I can't wait to hear it. And we will be in revival every night up until the 31st. On the 31st, instead of a 9 o'clock start, we will have an 11 o'clock start where we will spend from 11 to 12 o'clock in the presence of God, praying our way out of 2020 and praying our way in to 2021. So we invite you to join us for our Holy Ghost end of the year revival. We cannot wait. We are excited about what God is doing, and we thank you all for listening in. Thank you guys for letting me cut in with those two announcements. God bless y'all.
God bless y'all, family. Love y'all. Hey,
God bless everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.